Everybody, it's Tracy. Thanks for tuning in to the hashtag Fish Life podcast. You may notice that I sound a little different. I apologize for skipping last week. I've just been really, really sick. I started working in a daycare, which may or may not have been a great idea considering my compromised immune system, but I gave it a go. It's nice to be around my kiddos a little bit more often. I'm back in a kitchen that I love. And, you know, it was great. And then about 4 days in, some kid must have looked at me the wrong way. And no, I got sick and I have come down with severe sinusitis. So I'm on antibiotics. This is the first day I have a voice in about 4 or 5 days. So, you know, for everybody that checked in on me last week, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for making sure I was okay. I did get some rather impending health news last week, and so I've been taking the week to kind of do self-care, trying to practice that, taking a little bit of time for myself here and there. School does get back in session, and I want to talk about ways as a parent that when school gets ready to start, that you can get on your kid's side. So for those who have listened before, you know that I have 5 kiddos, so it's kind of a his, mine, and ours situation. I have 3 biological, and 4 of them are his. 1 of them is not his biological, so it's kind of a weird scenario, right? So our oldest daughter has officially become an 8th grader. She starts school on Monday. Our oldest son and middle daughter started school today. He is officially a sophomore. She's officially a 6th grader. And then we have a 1st grader starting on Monday as well. And then our youngest one, he is going into preschool. So we have kind of this huge dynamic of kids in our house, right? We always will. It's just the way our family is. You can't change it. So our oldest son doesn't need any help with anything. He's got everything under control. He's an avid football player. He's on both JV and varsity this year. And for everyone who keeps up with American football, that's a pretty cool thing for a sophomore to be put on both teams. He's also part of our National Honor Society. So he's a really smart kid. He's going places, and I hope that he continues to soar. So our 13-year-old, who is my baby, my mini-me, she is my girl. From my first marriage, she is everything me, just in a smaller package, which definitely presents some problems because nobody likes to be faced with a smaller version of themselves when they're trying to make a point, because you already know how this person is going to react. You already know that it can go sour pretty fast, but you also know what makes them happy. So we went and picked up her schedule on Monday with her father, and her father and I get along swimmingly. We're not, there's no animosity there anymore. That is all since passed. Her dad and I have been divorced for nearly 10 years, and, you know, that's all water under the bridge these days as far as our relationship goes, because it is all about our daughter. It's less about us. Our relationship formed after we got divorced and after we got past that. So we took her to go get her schedule on Monday night, and we were going to take her to dinner and kind of just have a meeting of the minds about what's expected for the school year. And it was just continuous bashing of herself about how, you know, why is she on the smart team this year, and she doesn't belong there because she's not smart. And, you know, I don't need to do well because I dug myself out of an academic hole last year at the end of the year. I brought 3 Fs up, and you might be wondering how her dad and I let her get 3 Fs, by the way. She was in the school play. And that really consumed a lot of her time the last term or the last quarter of school. So our school system is set up where we have 2 terms with 2 quarters per term. So the first term, she's got quarters 1 and 2, and then the second term is 3 and 4. So the second term last year was auditions for the show in quarter 3, and then quarter 4 was the actual show. So there was a lot of rehearsals that kind of spread the span of both of those. But she just kind of turned off her academic mode. She just went into full-on, I'm an actress, you know, I'm a singer, I'm into this and I'm into that, and she just really abandoned it. It didn't matter what her dad and I did. We would ask her if she turned things in. And short of watching her do it and then watching her turn it in, we were just trusting her. We were trying our hardest to give her the benefit of the doubt. And unfortunately, didn't work out that well. So we decided to sit down with her. But before all this happened on Monday, she and I had discussed, you know, we got her a planner, and it, literally on the front of it, it's a college planner. Even though she's in middle school, it's a college planner that says important things that I'll probably forget but shouldn't, or something along those lines, because it's really just kind of her personality. I went and got her student planner stickers so that she could write down when there was a test and she could put a sticker there. I really felt like making it her own would maybe help her come to realize that her academic life is her own and she can control it to the best of her ability. And I was really hoping that that would sink in. So she spent, you know, since Monday, kind of personalizing her planner a little bit. It's also got some like adult coloring pages in it. But she, Monday when we went to get her schedule, she was just in a funk. She doesn't know anybody on her team this year that she thought. She got the elective she wanted, so she's taking art. She's taking French, which is awesome because I do un peu of French, which means just a little bit. I can do colors and numbers up to like 30. So we're good. But she just had this mood about her, and it wasn't like normal 13-year-old brooding kind of angst. It was her being really sassy. She couldn't get her locker open the first time. I didn't have a problem doing it the first time I tried. And she wanted to meet her teachers, but none of the teachers were in the classroom. They literally handed her schedule to her, which led us to her locker, which led us to where my teachers. She is fortunate enough to be surrounding with her locker. She's literally surrounding five out of her six classes. So she doesn't have a very long walk throughout the school day to get anywhere. I think like her third class is the furthest away and it's just down like four doors. So it's not bad. But she was just really, really funky about everything. And she basically declared that she didn't need to walk the halls and she knew how to get to her classrooms. And so that was that. We said, all right, cool. Y'all need to know? Y'all need to know. You don't, you know, it's not a big deal. We're just going to leave. And she got really hostile about that. She's like, well, that's not what I'm saying. What is what you're saying? You told us you didn't need to do it, so we're just going to go. You know, you're confident enough. You've been here before. No big deal. So she started getting rude and rough, and we just had kind of a tough night on Monday. She started telling us we didn't trust her, and, you know, we're never going to let her do things on her own if we don't trust her. And it was kind of a gut check, because there are days when I don't trust her because she decides to not tell the truth about really small things. And so it's tough to trust someone when they don't want to be honest about, you know, no, I didn't wash my hair. And then you want to trust them for everything else, but when they can't be honest about the small, it's hard to trust the big, right? Pardon me. So Monday was just tough. And then me being sick on top of it was even harder because, like I said, I haven't had a voice. This is the first day that I'm even remotely close to having a voice again since last week. So it's Wednesday today, and I started losing my voice Friday night of last week. I started getting sick probably around Thursday. So it's been a rough week, and having to discipline kids with no voice, little to no voice, that's a whole nother challenge. So I came home yesterday from dropping off the little ones at school for day camp, and then I came home, and the 13-year-old was there, and she wanted to have lunch. And I had promised her we would go have this lunch before school got back in session, and just be me and her. And so we did that. And the place that she wanted to go was a ramen house. She's 13. She's like a 13-year-old college student. Everything revolves around ramen. It's like she's paying for things herself when she's just not. So she eats like she's on a budget sometimes. And then other times she forgets that money is, you know, not on trees. So she loves ramen. And we went to this place near us called Osaka. And apparently they are open, but not quite yet. So they open in August, but they're not there yet. So we got there, and then I looked at her, and I was like, okay, well, they're not open. We'll just go down the road to our hibachi place, which is a family favorite for us. And we love hibachi. We love everything that it brings. But my oldest and I, she and I love sushi. That has always been like this bond between us. When she was a little girl, she used to call it Shushi. And I actually heard another little girl the other day out calling it sushi. She wanted sushi from the restaurant. And I just thought that was amazing. I just loved it. So the oldest and I went to our hibachi place, but we didn't sit in the hibachi rooms. We sat at the sushi bar and we talked and we took selfies together. And, you know, we just had this incredible downtime moment where we were eating and I got her to try new rolls and I got her to try some tempura and some ponzu. And I did get her to try some tempura shrimp with cream cheese and avocado, and she liked it until she realized it was cream cheese and shrimp. She doesn't care for either one of those. But you know, she and I had a really good moment of just bonding, and we probably ate $40 worth of sushi and tempura and bonded, and it was great. And it was really what we needed to kind of come off of the day before. You know, when school goes back in session, yeah, sometimes the parents are stressed. And more often than not, we're just really excited that the kids are getting back on a schedule that we don't have to create. But then, you know, the older kids pick up on that even more. And they pick up on the fact that, you know, you're excited that they're leaving and going away for the day. I mean, essentially, that's what they pick up on. So another thing that we've really had to do is we have a situation where in our town, in our community or village, they have something called neighborhood schools. So it all feeds into the same district. However, each school has a neighborhood. So it's not like a subdivision neighborhood. It's like the district has zoning points per elementary school. We have 6 or 7 elementaries that feed into both the middle school and the high school. So the elementary school, I mean, we only have 7 of those, but we have one middle and one high. So if you can imagine, there's a lot of kids bustling and moving everywhere. our youngest daughter last year attended the same elementary that our oldest daughter went from kindergarten through 6th. She attended there last year for kindergarten, and we presumed it would be no problem to get her in again this year. We've never had a problem doing it. Our oldest, we've lived at our current residence, it'll be 4 years this year, and for all of that time frame, we never had a problem getting our oldest accepted into the inter-district filing. And so we were just kind of dismayed and appalled this year when it didn't happen. Excuse me. So a little backstory on the youngest daughter. Without the entire diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder, she does have all of the characteristics, and it's been suggested that she does carry the ASD qualifier and diagnosis without actually being diagnosed. So one of the most common characteristics of ASD, and they don't call it Asperger's or autism anymore, it's literally the autism spectrum, because there are so many different things that these children have characteristics that can kind of cross post, they can kind of cross over, and it's like those circles where they have that common denominator in the middle, but they each have their own issue. It's kind of like that. So our youngest daughter has all these characteristics and qualities of a child with ASD, but without the full ASD diagnosis. One of the biggest things that she carries is the need for routine. And how the smallest item that's out of place can really mess with her. All of our elementary schools in the district look the same, with the exception of, I think, 1 or 2. But they mainly look like the school she's been attending last year. And I mentioned to her the other day when we went to our library, one of the other schools that looks directly like hers is in the same parking lot as our library. And I said, wow, look at that. That looks just like your school. The first thing out of her mouth was, yeah, kind of, but the playground's different. So she picks up on small things. She's quite an attention to detail. That's also part of her characteristics. So we were trying to explain to the school district that it would really not be in her best interest academically, emotionally, or even just to help her function to change her school when we were denied. So our entire summer I have spent going back and forth to I've spent going back and forth to the school district board office, and I have spent countless hours with our youngest behavioral therapist or you know, whatever you want to call her, doing, getting all this documentation together and getting everything we need to really prove our case that, you know, our child deserves to stay where she is because it's what's in her best interest. We finally yesterday had a meeting with our superintendent. She was very willing to meet with us. However, it took me 2 months to get to her after being passed around to many different locations and people. I was very dismayed to see there was no, like, communication, cross-communication between all these different people until we got to meet the superintendent. Now, my husband and I were able to go together, and what happened is once we met with her, the tune changed. We were able to kind of plead our case for our youngest, which was great. We were able to explain why it was so necessary for her to have all this routine and not change it. We were told by the superintendent, which is an accurate statement, you know, while we are thinking of the one child, she is thinking of the entire district. And I get that, but, you know, my child is also part of the district, so her best interest is also what's at stake here. But essentially what happened is we were able to plead our case enough that the school district decided to allow our youngest to go back to the school she was at last year. excuse me, within minutes of leaving the conference room, I was just in tears. I was weeping. I was sobbing and weeping in the board office because our daughter was getting what she needed. And we had fought for her so hard to get there. And it was just such a trying summer for that. When we got the rejection letter at the beginning of the summer, I sobbed then. I was disappointed in our district. You know, I was just disappointed. But when we left yesterday, my husband didn't quite understand what had happened. And he kept saying, you know, you've tried your hardest, don't worry. And I looked at him, and in my squeakiest of squeak voices, I said, we did it. We got her in where she needed to be. And he didn't quite understand that. So it was really nice to kind of have the support from him to see that, you know, all this hard work had paid off too. So it was nice to have him there to know that we were working together as a team for our child. You know, so both of my kids' dads understand the value of working together for our kids. And that's amazing. And last night, you know, as I was going to bed, he turned to me and he said, you did good work, kid. You know, it was nice to have that validation that I had worked so hard to get her there. So the nice thing is that means that, you know, we've put in all this effort and it wasn't for naught. You know, it wasn't all for naught. And that's amazing to feel like things that you've worked hard for are good. And not only that, but it showed our other kids, because the youngest daughter wasn't aware this was happening. We made every effort to shield her from this until it was absolutely necessary to tell her one way or the other. Because there was no need in causing any kind of backtracking in her behavior, which, you know, ultimately would have occurred had she been sent to this alternate school. But, you know, she was so excited to find out that she starts school on Monday and, you know, that she gets to go see her friends. We can't even pass the exit to her school without her being just so excited that, you know, that's where her school is and that's where my friends go and that's where the teachers like me. And, you know, it's nice to see a kid excited about school. So with our other three kids, other two, because we've already talked about the oldest boy and the oldest girl and the youngest girl. Well, the sixth grader, she's going to have a hard time, I think, because she is finally able to branch out on her own. She'd been in competitive cheer since she was 3, and now she's 11, and for the last year, she's been able to do things that weren't cheer-related, and so she's really getting this chance to open up her spectrum of things that she likes and things that she can try, and so that's really important because she gets to find out who she truly is. So she's excited to try out for the basketball team this year, and I'm so excited for her. Because this is something that she's wanted to do for years and she's never been able to do. So now that her schedule's cleared up, as you might know, competitive cheer takes up 90 hours a week. Give or take, it honestly takes up about as much as a full-time job for a child. And that is stressful because you're also piling in an entire week's worth of school, any homework that they have, travel time to and from the gym, travel time to and from competitions, countless hours of going through the routines in their head, changing the routines at the last minute. It's just very stressful on everyone. So, excuse me. Her last year has been super relaxing for her. She's not devoting her entire weekend to practices or competitions or wondering whether or not she can attend the family birthday party for her cousin, because she has a practice or she has a competition. So it's been really nice and relaxing for her. And I'm excited to see her develop this more. And I'm excited to see her move forward with these new things that she likes. I hope to see her try out for soccer in the summer. She's also very musically inclined. She has played a stand-up bass that is about 4 or 5 inches taller than her. She played that for 2 years. She has perfect pitch, which is extremely difficult. So for this 11-year-old, her world is truly is her oyster. I'm excited to see where it takes her. And for our little guy, our baby bird, our JJ, he is probably the only one I will ever refer to by name because he's got about a million different names. He's a bruiser, but he's my boy. And he worries about his mama all the time. If he knows that I don't feel well, he makes a point to come up and snuggle on me and tell me how much he loves me and just kiss my cheek. But he's like that with his sisters too. And I'm super excited to see how that grows. He makes sure that his sisters have everything they need. And he's got 3 sisters. He treats ladies with respect already at 3, 3 and a half. That's pretty awesome in my opinion. He does it at school. He's good to the girls in his class, and he's good to his teachers at school. And he's very aware that he needs to be respectful to people. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited a lot in today's podcast, apparently. I'm just anxious to see where this school year takes them all. JJ is all about being loving, and if you don't feel well, coming up to you and kissing you on the hand. Or, he'll walk right up to you and kiss you wherever his mouth lands on your body. Like, if he's at your hip, he'll kiss your hip. If he's at your belly, he'll kiss your belly. If he's, if you're sitting down, he'll come over and kiss your cheek. But he's just very giving, and he just wants everybody to feel good. So our 6-year-old, she's the one that has ASD without having ASD. She, I don't say that lightly either. I sincerely mean that. She has all these characteristics. The only reason they did not, excuse me. The only reason they did not classify her with ASD was because my answers and her father's answers and the teacher's answers all were different. Her dad and the teacher had agreeing answers to the questionnaire, and I spent more time with her than the two of them did. So, of course, their answers would match versus mine. So she is going to have a fun year as a first grader. And I know this, and I'm excited to see her flourish, and I'm just anxious to see where the year takes all of our kids. It's really going to be an influential year for all of them. Whether it's playing football back-to-back for our son Friday night to Saturday morning, whether it is our 8th grader being able to make it onto, an academic team or something along those lines, whether our 6th grader makes the ball team, pardon me, it's really just going to be a big year for our family, and I'm looking forward to everything that it offers us. I'll be very candid, my health is not in the best possible spot right now, but that is not just saying that my cold is the problem, because it's not just my cold. My health with my cancer has just kind of dropped a little bit. It's not where we would like it to be. So this year is going to be trying all the way around. We want everything to go well, and we're doing what we can to make that happen. So, with that being said, happy school year, everyone. I hope that for those of you with children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whoever you have in your family that is going back to school, maybe it's you. Pardon me. I hope that the year is kind to you. And I hope that you are able to flourish and watch other people flourish and encourage people. So, as I always tell you, please make sure you have a smile on your face. You put a smile on somebody else's. You never know when someone's going to need it. Have a fantastic week. I hope to be healthy enough to do another another podcast next week. This is Tracy with the hashtag Fish Life Podcast. Thanks again for listening on whatever platform you're on. It means the world to me. All right. I'll talk to you soon, guys. Bye.